He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the April 19th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. We've got a surge going on in the market. I'm not quite sure why yet. But we'll shoot now, ask questions later. The Dow's up 327 right now to 34,738. In the meanwhile, the NASDAQ's up 116 points to 34,448. And the S&P 500 is now up 38 points to 4430. So a pretty good start to the equities market today. There is a little drawback in oil prices today. Maybe that has something to do with the surge in the rest of the market. Crude oil is down $3.83 per barrel today, and crude now sits at $104.38. Where is the top in oil and other commodities? We'll talk a little bit about that today. Russell 2000 is above 2000. It's at 2002 today. It's up 0.6%. Gold is up or down $19.10. You know, it made a valiant run at 2000 yesterday. It failed at that level. It's now at 1967. Silver is also pulling back, so a little pullback in the commodities after another red-hot day yesterday. The 10-year, now I'm surprised that the tech's doing so well today. The 10-year's at 2.91 today, yeah. 2.91, 3% here we come. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and chief and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Barry, there's all of a sudden a risk-on appetite today. I'm not quite sure why.
I don't know if everyone's selling bonds and moving over onto the equity side, right? And as we got yields going up, I'm kind of with you. I didn't really only real economic news I saw is what we've got. Had a surprise that. Home building, new homes were a little bit higher than expected. Other than that, I don't see any huge earning news. Everyone's happy we get to take our, masks off on airplanes.
That's the big news for me, I think. And on Uber rides to the airport, too.
There we go.
So, there is a little bit of M&A activity taking place. American Campus Communities bought out by Blackstone, and a couple banks. It could be the banks kind of leading the way. I see Signature Bank up 6.6, CFG up 6.2, and Silvergate up 5.5. Those three banks, however, are heavily influenced by Bitcoin. They're Bitcoin banks. And Bitcoin is up 2,174. I saw Bitcoin yesterday under 40,000, and it seems like every time it ventures below that 40,000 level, it becomes a buying opportunity. You've got a biotech being bought out today for like a 331% gain. But other than that, the International Monetary Fund lowered their global forecast. That's not good. You've got the 10-year at 2.91 today as it closes in on 3%. You do have crude oil backing off. That may have something to do with the market being on the buoyant side today.
And for pure banks, you know, maybe the steepening of the yield curve. I mean, I think the difference in the 2 year and the 10 year now is 37. Our inversion watch didn't last very long.
Isn't that weird? We had 2 days of inversion. Right. And then it all of a sudden steepened right back up. And that is bullish for the banks and the financials. So I haven't had a chance. I looked at the market right after it opened, but I haven't had a chance to look at it since we've had this surge about 20 minutes, 30 minutes into the open. Well, yesterday we had, you know, yesterday I summed it up, yesterday's action in the market with three words. Commodities, commodities, commodities. And you have to wonder, I mean, the oil stocks were on fire again yesterday. The grain stocks were on fire. The fertilizer stocks, I saw Nucor surging to a new high, steel stock. You have to wonder if there's a top somewhere in these commodity stocks, and we have to watch that very, very carefully. It's all about supply and demand, and it's also about, you know, pricing power of these companies. It's about supply chain that supply these companies. So we kind of have to be on watch a little bit. We have some pretty big profits in that commodity sector. One big sell signal for me is CNBC is finally starting to pick up on the fertilizer stocks, Barry. Now that they've tripled or doubled or whatever, I saw one of their analysts yesterday, gosh, what's up with these fertilizer stocks? We like the fertilizer stocks here. And they were also mentioning some of the ag stocks that we've owned for a long time. Maybe that's a top
big
when they start talking
right?
about it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see, but I will be vigilant. Nothing goes up forever, and you know, I keep seeing constraints on oil supply. All the articles I read, I think there is a scramble to get more supply out there, but it doesn't happen quickly, and it looks to me like they're still way behind the curve in several areas on increasing the supply here in the U.S. Well, we're in earnings season. I think Lockheed Martin reported today, a few other banks. The big one tomorrow, it's become one of the big three, really, Tesla. Tesla will report tomorrow. I would say Tesla, these days it's Tesla, Apple, and Amazon are probably the most watched. At Google, maybe a little bit. But Tesla will report earnings tomorrow, so that will provide some excitement after the market closes tomorrow. And as I said, yesterday was all about commodities. Tech remained weak, although I did see some encouraging signs, finally, in the semiconductor patch. That is pretty much a very beleaguered sector. I don't care if it's semiconductor equipment companies, whether it's the flash memory companies like Micron, or whether it's the advanced chip companies like NVIDIA and AMD. There was finally some signs of life there yesterday. So maybe they've put in a bottom for now. Let's just check AMD real quickly. Test my theory. Yeah, that's a nice little bounce today in AMD. It's up 2%. And one other one I would look to would be NVIDIA, because that's the one everybody rushes to. Well, that's encouraging. It's sitting on its support level, and it's bouncing off of there for the second day in a row. So we'll keep our eye on that. Maybe we're going to have a little bit of rotation out of the commodity stocks here, a little profit taking and into the tech. But with those rising interest rates, you got to be careful. We're at 2.93%. In the meantime, natural gas prices, they were up 10% yesterday, Barry. Did you feel it in your wallet? And 100% year to date. We're only 4 months into the
right.
year.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. As Marcellus Shale production, and I believe that Marcellus Shale is in the southeast, remains restricted. It hit a 13-year high on Monday. Well, I just think you're seeing a little bit of profit taking in this area. I don't think you've all of a sudden caught up with the demand. Rising demand and restricted production continue to pressure inventory levels. So you've got problems. Duke and Dominion, they canceled the Atlantic Coast Pipeline in 2020, a pipeline planned to connect the world's most prolific natural gas basin, which we're not tapping, to new end markets. And that continues to hold down supply coming from the Marcellus Shale gas area. Rig counts have continued to languish in the Marcellus. The Mountain Valley Pipeline is planned to increase Marcellus. Well, I would just say this. Don't be surprised when you continue to have sticker shock in New York and the Northeast when you open up your utility bill. If you're on natural gas, it's going to continue to go higher. What's happened in Europe is now happening here. This is Bill Gunderson at Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we ended the first quarter on talking about natural gas. Let's start the second quarter here. We're talking about natural gas. Natural gas is down 8% today. UNG is the ETF that I watch that is the natural gas price delivered to the Henry Hub in Louisiana. This UNG has tripled in 2 years. It got down to $8, the ETF did. Yesterday, it touched on, let me see how high it got. It hit a high of 28 yesterday. So from 8 to 28. Now it's down to 25 today. Then that Marcellus Shale is basically all the states that don't like fossil fuels, Pennsylvania. Well, I don't know. Maybe they do. District of Columbia, a little bit of Virginia. Of course, New York, they're not real kind to fossil fuels. And it's in a little bit of Ohio. Now, here's the big problem that they have. It's the Appalachian Mountains for the most part. The Mountain Valley Pipeline is planned to increase Marcellus market access and is scheduled for completion this summer. However, Equitrans Midstream, ETRN, said in February that the project would likely miss its target in-service date following a series of adverse court rulings. That's the problem with the pipelines, you see. I mean, the hoops that they've got to go through and the environmental impact reports and the lawsuits and everything like this, it's a tough slog. So in the meantime, you've got natural gas prices hitting a 10-year high, doubling since the beginning of this year. So it's going to really show up in utility. Your utility bills, I'm sure it already is when you open up your utility bill and see how much it costs to heat your home this past month and for other things. Anyways, drilled but uncompleted oil and gas wells continue to decline in March. So they're putting some of these into use. But, you know, I mean, just looking at where is the top in oil and gas prices, with well inventory falling, okay, and production staying flat. This is according to the EIA, who ought to know something about the energy situation here in America. Either rig activity needs to accelerate rapidly, or expectations of U.S. onshore production growth will need to come down. Well, I don't see either one. It seems to me like there's continued upwards pressure on oil prices. And you're going to see sell-offs along the way and some profit-taking, but it just seems, and you know, I think too, Barry, the area that I'm really seeing heat up here are the oil service companies.
Certainly. Yep.
The well drillers, the Halliburtons, and the Baker Hughes, and the Transocean Offshore, and a lot of these oil and gas service companies that actually have to do the hard work, the drilling, you know, the other companies.
They're the ones that get contracted out, right.
Yeah, and I imagine that they're real busy right now with oil at $104 per barrel. Another factor is, you know, the federal lands were opened up, but the royalty rate that the government wants also went up. I think it went up from 12.5% to 17.5%, and a lot of oil companies are saying, you know what, that's not doable. That makes it too risky to drill. So we'll see where all this all goes, but I continue to see upwards pressure on oil prices. Callon OPEC, Petroleum.
Well, don't forget OPEC missed their production targets, you know, last week. So it's another piece of the whole puzzle.
And it seems like they're getting very, very close to a complete boycott of Russian oil. Now, Russia will find other buyers of their oil and gas. But Germany, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Germany to turn their back on Russia. And that would really drive up prices over there in Europe. So there's a lot of pressure right now, upwards pressure on all of this. Callon Petroleum undervalued versus peers, Roth says, in an upgrade to buy. Well, we own Callon Petroleum. That's one of the ones we own, CPE. It hasn't done much, but it's cheap. It's got a relative strength of 95 and a PE of 7, CPE. And for whatever reason, though, it's kind of been held back. I don't know why. They've got earnings, and I mean, they're. I think this is an undervalued one, to be honest with you. Okay, now, not just oil prices are going up. Yesterday, I saw, you know, you look at it like a couple weeks ago, you look at these breakouts in the fertilizer stocks and the corn ETF, the soil, you say, how much higher can they go? And then yesterday, they all broke out again with these huge moves upward. Corn price surpassed $8 per bushel Monday, up 3% in early trading. That's a 10-year high in corn, all right. Soybean prices followed corn prices higher, hitting a fresh 10-year high in soybeans. And the latest short-term energy outlook published by the Department of Energy called for a 24% increase in biodiesel consumption in the U.S. Of course, biodiesel is the diesel they're making from different bioproducts, not from crude.
Yeah, from your frying oil and everything else in between. Garbage.
Yeah, you know, I was following a diesel truck.
Right.
Yeah. I was following a diesel truck. It smelled like a McDonald's. Yeah. You know, I was like, those French fries smell good. Old French fry grease. Well, you know, you need a little
I think it's more efficient than using corn because the corn is more of a substitute, right? It's not really, you know, whether it's ethanol or you're eating it or feeding it to animals, right? The biodiesel, in my opinion, right, is something, you know, using for any. Exactly. So it's a real alternative fuel is what I like to refer.
And then, of course, the rising food prices, fertilizer products, the fertilizer continues to break out to new highs. It's crazy. Now, I just got one little trivia. If you're in a trivia, playing a trivia game, this is something I learned today that I did not really know. I'm the teacher at my church, one of the teachers this year of the Old Testament, okay? So I study it as hard as I can every day. It says that Joseph stored up corn in Egypt. Well, that always bothered me because corn is indigenous to the U.S. They don't have corn in the Middle East. It's translated. It's mistranslated. He stored up wheat. And even in the tombs of Egypt, the catacombs of Egypt, they find baskets of wheat. So there you go. Wheat is also hitting new highs. There's your trivia question. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 386. It's at 34,800. Bitcoin up 728. So obviously a little bit of risk on appetite today. The S&P is now up 50. And the NASDAQ is up 173, which brings up a point. Okay, we've had a few emails from clients recently. How come, Bill, you still continue to own some of your tech stocks? Well, it's days like today. I think this is a market where, number one, you can't have 100% commodity stocks in your portfolio. That would be foolish. Number two, you can't have 100% inverse tech funds in your portfolio. That would be foolish. And number three, you can't have 100% tech stocks in your portfolio. That would be foolish. Just look at the performance. A lot of the NASDAQ's down, what, 13, 14% so far this year. So I have a balance, and I think it's worked out pretty good. You know, on the days when the market's lousy, we do really, really well, because usually on those lousy days for the equities market, the commodities do well. And, we don't have many days like today. We underperform the market a little bit on a day like today because the tech stocks are exploding and the more risk-on type stuff is exploding. So I just think this is a year that continues to be require a more of a balanced approach, with definitely a heavy leaning towards low PE stocks and avoiding the high PE stocks and, of course, the long-duration bonds and whatnot, because the environment of interest rates is a big, big factor that you got to weigh here in 2023. Okay, so let's talk about gold a little bit. Gold made a valiant run towards in fact, I guess the futures briefly went over $2,000 an ounce on Monday. We haven't seen that in a long time.
I was looking at the long-term chart. I mean, it hasn't been above 2,000.
No. Know,
and when it does, it doesn't stay very long. I mean, you know, a couple of them were just little blips. I had to actually, you know, zoom in on the particular day and figure, you know, because it literally, you know, closed, you know, one day here above 2,000.
Yes.
One day here. I was trying to go back in history and figure out, okay, you know, what happened during that particular day, right, to send it up, to above the 2,000 range. So it's a pretty interesting chart. I would tell our listeners, go take a look at that one and go historically and look back and see how many times it's above two.
Okay, I'm looking at a monthly chart that goes back to 2004, so I'm looking at almost 20 years of history. I would call that, on the long-term chart, I would call that an extremely bullish chart. Right now. Now, gold got down to about 1,000 in 2015. And now, if you look at a long-term chart, that's a really, really nice, what we call in the technical analysis is a kind of a big, big saucer that it's formed. And now there's a handle. And it looks to me like it's going to break out to new highs. My own thoughts on gold are, I think there's conditions in the world today that I've never seen in my 23 years in the industry. I've never seen debt like we have today, not only here in the U.S., but really across the globe. I've never seen countries run such big deficits, which is pretty bullish for gold. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are afraid of the currencies around the world. And there's all this talk of moving to a digital currency. And, you know, that makes one kind of shudder a little bit. You know, growing up in San Diego, just across the border from Mexico, you know how many times I saw them devalue their currency? Like once a month, you know. Oh, you know, we're going to, now it's 20 pesos to the dollar. You know, I think people are a little bit afraid of that, number one. And you go to a digital currency, you know, what's to keep them from shutting you? I think there's a lot of people that are worried and starting to buy gold. You know, okay, we'll go back to my Old Testament teaching. What did they take to these wives, Rachel and Rebecca? Gold. This is 1,000 years B.C. Gold was a currency, a widely used currency back then. And I think that a lot of people look at that and say, you know what? If push comes to shove, I want to have some gold. And, of course, all of this global conflict and everything, I think gold's going higher. And I have been a bear on gold. I mean, ever since you've been with me here, Barry, I have never liked gold as an investment. This is the first time.
It just never works out like you think it should.
No.
Like in my head, you know, those times where I'm like, certainly gold should do well in this environment, right? It almost does the exact opposite. And, you know, in reality, as interest rates go up, right, gold, you know, all else being equal, gold should go down because of the fact that, you know, gold doesn't pay a dividend, right? Gold doesn't pay interest. Cost money to store gold, right? And so your opportunity costs increase as interest rates go up. But like you said, looking at the chart, right?
The chart is bullish.
It's something else, right?
Yeah, I think this time's different. Okay, that's just the sense I get. I've watched gold for 23 years. And I just feel like, you shouldn't be 100% gold either, right? Or 100% fertilizer. But I have a pretty big stash in the portfolios, bigger than I've had during my entire career in the business, I would say. Okay, Tesla tracking higher. Let's check in on Tesla, and then we got to check in on Twitter. Tesla is tracking higher. The Shanghai factory is open again. That's a nice chart. That's a very bullish chart on Tesla. It's at 1,025. It's up 2.1% today. The Gigafactory Shanghai opens back up, and tomorrow they will report earnings. So it is a risk. I mean, there's more risk if you were to buy it today with earnings tomorrow. Of course, it cuts both ways. You may get lucky, and it may be up 20% tomorrow on a big beat in earnings.
Well, when Kathy Wood said she projects it to be at $4,600 per share by 2026.
So. Yeah, well, her predictions have been garbage. She says oil is done when it was like $50 a barrel. She says there's no inflation, there's deflation. That's the bigger worry. Inflation is roaring. So now I'm really bullish. Right. Or I'm bearish on Tesla.
I know you had that game. I saw that note yesterday, and I'm like, I need to run that one by Bill. 4,600.
Okay.
2026. So you heard it.
Well,
there.
She's brought it down a little bit because she was at 5,000. So she's tempering her enthusiasm a little. Okay. Twitter is down 2.5%. I saw a big article by an analyst at Rosenblatt saying he doesn't think Musk can pull it off. The odds are very great. And, of course, the market thinks the same thing. If they thought that there was a good chance of this happening, the stock would be above 50 or closer to the 54 that Musk offered. And now there's a lot of talk about someone else coming in and joining Musk, like KKR or one of these. Apollo Global Management is the one. being tossed around. But you know what? I think I'm just going to watch from the sidelines. That's what I've decided to do with this whole soap opera. Mercedes-Benz unveils its first all-electric SUV. Well, this caught my eye. I thought, you know, I bet they're going to make, it's going to have a luxurious interior, 7 passengers, avant-garde luxurious interior. They haven't announced the price, but it's likely going to be over $100,000, Barry. So, you know, there you go. Get your all-electric Mercedes. It's going to be built in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Of all places, Mercedes-Benz, all electric. Okay, one other sector of the market yesterday that really caught my eye, the refineries. The refineries do move up and down with the price of oil, but they're all about margins, and right now this is a really good environment for the refineries. If you don't believe me, look at Valero stock, VLO. Also, Marathon, MPC, and who is it that agrees with me? Morgan Stanley likes the refineries. I do, too. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I just looked through the best percent gainers in the market today, and I hate to say it, but it's not a very good quality group today. So I don't know if there's some short covering going on or just some speculation. I'm just not seeing the quality stocks leading it. It's more of the Bitcoin, and it's more of the hydrogen fuel cells and Plug Power. There's a few quality names in there. And the bank stocks, they're having a pretty good day. But for the most part, the best performers amongst that bank sector are the ones that are related to Bitcoin somehow. So I'm not as encouraged by what I'm seeing here in the market. I like the mix that I have currently in my portfolios. They're doing very well. And I don't see this as a, wow, time to get back into tech type of thing, at least not from what I've seen so far today. Okay, now, the three that popped out to me, here's one we gave up too soon on. I owned this in my emerging growth portfolio last year, and I was just a little bit early to the game. I saw a big issue with food, with fertilizer. Of course, we've owned the fertilizer stocks for a long time, but I also saw a big issue with farmland. And we owned a REIT. We don't own it today, but this thing, look at it today, Farmland Partners, FPI. This is a REIT that is going around and buying high-quality, primarily row crop farms. They currently have 155,000 acres in 16 states. And with the food shortage and all this and that, that's going to raise the price of farmland. This thing is headquartered in Denver, Colorado. I know of two REITs that are farm-oriented. FPI has a relative strength of 91, and it pays a dividend of 1.3%. It's in 16 states. And look at the chart on that today. It's up 6.5%. That's a breakout. And I know the other one that's also in that farmland. I just like the ag sector. I've said that for a long time.
One, if you think housing prices have gone up, go take a look at farmland prices.
They've gone up.
They've actually. You know, gone higher than housing prices during the span.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you do a analysis on how much rent you can get off an apartment, and you do a capital return on the on your investment with prices on corn and prices on wheat and prices on soybean, and you do that formula on farmland, that raises the price. Of course, it varies from year to year, but anyways, that has made farmland in demand. And land is the other one, L-A-N-D. They own 164 farms. Then they lease them back to 85 separate corporate and independent farmer tenants in Arizona, California, Florida, Michigan, and Nebraska. 1.3% dividend yield on Gladstone Land, G-L-A-D. And 97 is the relative strength. On that one, one of the strongest stocks in the entire market, both of them, Land, L-A-N-D, the name of the company is Gladstone Land, and then Farmland Partners is F-P-I. Okay, now we're going to go to defense stocks. We're going to go on the defensive here. How about a company out of Israel that makes ground and air support systems? Solid state recorder. I see these guys, they're in the news a lot. Rada Electronics, R-A-D-A. That has a relative strength of 97. And I every day they're getting an order from somebody. It's a sign of the time, I suppose, that weapons and weapon systems. Now, these are mostly defensive systems, so I guess you could, if you're a Bob Dylan war protester type, you know, and Matt Cummings, Masters of War, you can kind of justify buying defensive systems to defend yourself. Rada Electronics, R-A-D-A, is a microcap, $815 million. It keeps showing up on my screens because of its relative strength, its momentum, and it's not that expensive. RADA, that thing is getting ready to hit a new all-time high today, very close on the verge of breaking out. Okay, and then one area that we were early to the party to, and then we backed out, the banks. The banks, in theory, should be having a phenomenal year, but the flight to safety when Russia invaded Ukraine really changed a lot of, because you had that big flight to safety, it drove interest rates down, and everybody fled the bank stocks.
Yeah, and the inversion messed up their interest margin, their net interest margin.
Now, if you think that maybe now interest rates are starting to really take off, and the steepening of the yield curve and the flight to safety seems to be over. There's an ETF that we own. We don't own it now, DPST. It's up 7.5% today. That thing is three times the regional banks. I have it on my watch list. It's been under heavy pressure. I mean, I'm glad we got out of it when we did. But it's starting to now turn the corner just a little bit with the steepening of the yield. And there's other regional bank ETFs. Maybe that the maybe finally you're starting to see some favorable circumstances with especially the interest rate situation. I read yesterday that one of the big firms had a really good day. It's because their reserves, the cash that they're earning a lot more on their reserves now. With interest rates up around 3%, you know, high twos on short-term money, that really helps their earnings. So anyways, those are the three that we'll use here today. We're out of time. You can get the newsletter and see what our balance is currently. GundersonCapital.com. You can see our latest target price on the S&P 500. The consensus is at almost 52.75, something like that. But I've seen a couple of big firms starting to move downwards with their consensus because the multiples contracting as interest rates go up. And if you're sitting in a bunch of vulnerable stuff, give us a call, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.